I had mentioned that a couple weeks ago when they had that mall ball, the big ball at Lakeside Mall celebrating the bicentennial of Jefferson Parish, 200 years old, big ball mall at Lakeside Shopping. I mean, they turned Lakeside Shopping Center into a ballroom. It was truly amazing, and I hope they find a reason to do that again. I ran into Congressman Steve Scalise. He came up to me, and he said, "Hey, Scoot, how you doing?" And we had a great conversation, and he said he wanted to come on the show. So I am very happy to say that Congressman Steve Scalise will join me in the studio this coming Monday at 3 o'clock, and we will have a great conversation. It's so important to kind of set the record straight on a lot of things that go on in the media, because I know so many people are misguided by people in the media. I mean, you're misguided. You're misguided by people who you think are telling you the truth, and they're not telling you the truth. In fact, many of them don't even understand how to explain what's going on. We have to talk about this attitude at this press conference today with Donald Trump, the president, and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. And they just are doubling down and just going ballistic on the media. And they're saying things that they shouldn't say. They're saying things that make it seem like they're fragile. And I've said this on a post on Substack. Donald Trump is a fragile man. He may sound tough when he talks, but inside he's fragile. He could never do my job. Donald Trump would not make it through one show, because there would be people who would not agree with him, and they would voice their opinions on the text line. They would voice their opinions calling in. And Donald Trump couldn't make it to the end of the show. He would be so upset he would throw the headphones down and leave the room. I don't think he could do it. He can't take criticism. He can't take disagreement. That's not a quality that we need to have in a president, because he acts like everybody needs to accept everything he says. The media is not after Donald Trump any more than they're after any other president. The media wasn't after Bill Clinton. They were after the story of Monica Lewinsky. The media wasn't after George W. Bush. They were after the story about the lack of weapons of mass destruction. The media isn't after Donald Trump. The media doesn't wake up. Well, I mean, the problem is Donald Trump has challenged the media so much that I wouldn't blame them if they look for reasons to criticize him. But if you are constantly berating and attacking some entity, you've got to expect that entity to come back at you. The idea that, again, I've said that this is what bullies do. Bullies don't hit people that they think are going to get up and kick their ass. And we've talked about this in a number of things that Donald Trump has done. And that's a bully mentality. Bullies don't hit people that they think can retaliate. The media can retaliate. If you challenge them, and if you say something wrong or do something wrong, the media can challenge you. And again, for those of you just tuning in, the purpose of the media, the press, the written press years ago, the whole purpose of the media is to hold government accountable. Because if it were not for our free press, which is unique to the United States, it exists in a few places, but not everywhere. I mean, even in the UK, Britain owns the BBC. It's the British Broadcasting Corporation. The government owns the media. The government doesn't own the media in this country, and the media is free to express their opinions about the government and about the president. That is a fundamental right in America. But Donald Trump doesn't understand that, because he thinks like a dictator. He wants everybody to accept what he says, and he wants to be right all the time. Nobody is right all the time. So look, let's get to this thing. And it's very confusing. And I think they make it confusing because they feel like they're confusing people. First of all, Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth have accepted this intel that was released to CNN and the New York Times. They have accepted it as basically accurate, that they don't know. When Pete Hegseth says, "Listen, we were right, we hit the exact spot," he's right about that. Look, this mission was incredible, miraculous. These pilots, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. It was a miraculous mission, and nobody's taking anything away from them. They dropped those bombs right exactly where they needed to drop the bombs. The question is, did the bombs do what they were supposed to do? That's the part we don't know. And the information that was released from Intel, U.S. Intel, was that maybe it didn't really get to what it was supposed to get to. That's not the fault of the pilots, because as I said yesterday, they didn't make the bombs. They flew the mission, they delivered the ordinances exactly where they were supposed to. Also, there is video of the Iranians with trucks 2 days before the bombing leaving those sites. Were they moving the uranium? Maybe so. We don't know for sure that it was there and that it was destroyed. And a worst case scenario would be that for Donald Trump to convince everybody that we obliterated everything and everything is fine and everything is gone and the Iranians can't do anything. And then all of a sudden, boom, they've got a bomb. The worst thing we can do is ignore the possibility that maybe that didn't happen, that we didn't destroy everything. So Pete Hegseth goes on this rant today. One of the true journalists at Fox News is Jennifer Griffin. She has always been one of the true journalists there. And he is bashing her, saying she is one of the worst. He's just desperate to protect his boss, Donald Trump. And Jennifer Griffin has you know, been reporting what others have been reporting, and that is that maybe the bombs didn't do exactly what they were supposed to do. Britt Hume, Fox News chief political analyst, said that was totally unfair. And Hegseth went on to say that the media in general is cheering so hard for President Trump to fail that it's in their DNA, it's in their blood. They want him to fail. I don't think that's true. I mean, I'm sure some people do, but I don't think that's true. And Hegseth was just talking about how the media is manipulating the minds of the public. That's exactly what you're trying to do, Hegseth. That's what Trump's trying to do, to manipulate the minds of the public by not allowing the media to do its job and then to totally disregard the media. Donald Trump was talking about this reporter on CNN, Natasha Bertrand, saying that she should be fired, thrown out like a dog, and that she presented fake news. How can it be fake news, Donald? How can it be fake news if you and Hegseth believe the report now? They believe the Intel report. So how can that be fake news? So why should Natasha Bertrand be thrown out like a dog? Trump and Hegseth now admit there are doubts about the level of the damage to the Iranian nuclear sites, but publicly they are still presenting this story that the media is wrong and they're right and the media is trying to undermine this country and the media doesn't like America, and none of that is true. And Hegseth has tried to compare what happened, the bombing in Iran, with Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I've seen pictures of both. There's no comparison whatsoever. And then Hegseth is talking about this mission, as great as it was it the most complex and secretive military operation in history? What about Normandy? What about the bombing in Japan? What about those things? Look, I don't want to take anything away from this mission, but Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth is just a puppet for Donald Trump. But they are blaming the media for something that is not the media's fault. And they actually agree that maybe the damage wasn't as bad, but they're not saying it. These reports seem to be obvious. And it's just really frustrating when the media gets blamed for something that is not the media's fault. The media is reporting the news, the truth. And the truth was this report that came out. Donald Trump doesn't like that because he can't tolerate anybody disagreeing with him. And yet every president gets criticism. Nobody's picking on Donald Trump. What they're picking on is what he says and how he acts and the way he demeans the press. This is not the fault of the press. This is not Jennifer Griffin's fault. This is not Natasha Bertrand's fault. This is not the fault of the media for reporting something. They're supposed to report it. But again, Donald Trump is having problems. Right now, 5 months into his presidency, things are not going as well as he thought they were going to go. He had this Pollyanna view of the way everything was going to go as soon as he became president. And I think in his mind, he really believes he can do some of this stuff. But he couldn't. And in some ways, he's looking bad. The media is reporting on the truth, but he can't stand this. And so he's reacting. And so this is what we have to continue to follow. And we have to continue to report on this, and we have to set the record straight when the media is not to blame. And if Hegseth and Trump are kind of accepting this intel information that was released to CNN and the New York Times, then why are they bashing the people who reported it? You know, again, if we underestimate what we did and we turn a blind eye to that, what do you think the Iranians are going to do? They're going to take the uranium and they're going to build a bomb. So we better know for sure that those bombs did what they were supposed to do. And if they didn't, then maybe we have to finish the job.
Some real 1984 type stuff.
Yep.
Here. Everything you just said was so spot on. I really like that. If the preliminary assessment was low confidence, and that assessment said that there was moderate damage, then why did Trump say with high confidence that the damage was total and complete? Now, you got the CIA, the IAEA, Israel, everyone is kind of coming to the same conclusion that yes, the sites were completely destroyed. Good. I'm happy to hear that. But it is clear now that Trump did not know that for certain when he came out and addressed the nation on Sunday night. This is a mess of his own creation. It's his bluster, his bragging that doesn't match up with what his own intelligent readout says. That's on him. He stepped on that rake. That's not CNN's problem. As ever, his presidency is undermined by his own personality, which to a grown-up Republican Party, even a deeply conservative one, would be a cause for concern. But his supporters don't really want a presidency. They do not want effective governance. They do not want principled leadership. They want a TV show, which is why there are more than two dozen former Fox News producers and personalities in administration. It's a TV show. That's why you have Hegseth out there this morning saying it's the most complex military operation in history.
Well, he was given those words.
They think that their supporters are stupid enough to believe that. And tragically, many of them are. And this moment is the end result of 40 years of Fox News and hate radio, and not just partisan bias, but the anti-reality, anti-truth, grass is blue, the sky is green stuff. I don't know how we come back from this, because, you know, the next president may not behave the same way, whether it's Republican or Democrat, probably not going to be this bad, but the American electorate is going to take generations to deprogram themselves from accepting these kind of lies.
You know, in a lot of ways, there are young millennials and Zoomers who are witnessing this, and they think that because they're coming of age at a time when this is what's going on. This Donald Trump is what's been going on the last, you know, nine years. Mm-hmm. And they think it's always like this. It's not always like this. It's not always going to be like this. And I have confidence. Maybe I'm a little bit naive in this area, but I have optimism and confidence that we are going to come back from this. We're going to have less to talk about because, you know, if this explosion, I'm not talking about Trump because I want to talk about Trump. I'm talking about Trump and Hegseth because of what they did, today at this press conference and the people that they called out. And the ridiculous idea that the media is to blame for a report that they now agree is a legitimate report from our own intel. And a lot, obviously there was destruction. I mean, it's a $30,000 pound bomb. Of course there was destruction. But did it do what it was supposed to do? And if we just believe Trump and turn a blind eye to that, then the Iranians go on and do their thing. This was all a way. It was all a show. It was all a show to distract from the problems President Trump is having. And President Trump, even for Trump supporters, deep down inside, they've got to know he's having problems. And he's having problems with a lot of voters that put him in office. The right-wing radicals, the MAGA people, they didn't put him in office. There are not enough of them. It's all the other people. It's the moderate Republicans and Democrats. It's the independents. They put Donald Trump in office. And they want to continue this. The Republican Party wants to continue this this trend. I mean, they want to win the midterm elections. They want to win in 2028. And it might not be Donald Trump. It may be J.D. Vance. And J.D. Vance, I mean, he's going to be just as conservative, if not more wacky, than Donald Trump in some ways. I mean, J.D. Vance is a right-wing radical, and they want that to continue. But is that what America wants? I'm not so sure, but I don't know for sure at this point.
You know, the other thing about this that really, really gets under my skin is this assertion that this reporting is upsetting the pilots. Shut the hell up about this reporting somehow disrespecting the troops and hurting the pilots' feelings. It's very difficult for me to imagine those pilots crying into their Cheerios because CNN correctly reported that their bosses at the Pentagon were not immediately confident in their damage assessment. And nobody should be taking cues from Donald Trump on how to show respect to our military. He spent all of 2015, all of 2016 telling everyone what a big fat mistake the war in Iraq was. His words, a big fat mistake. What did that do for troop morale? He spent that entire cycle talking about how destroyed and depleted and ineffective the U.S. military was. What a disaster the military was. About how POWs are not worth our respect or admiration. How the generals didn't know what the hell they were doing. How veterans who are suffering from PTSD are weak people. Then you got, you know, John Kelly, his former chief of staff, who I'll remind you is a retired four-star Marine general, saying that Trump called fallen service members suckers and losers because they died fighting for a cause that did not benefit him personally. Then he puts this grossly unqualified drunk TV show host in front of the Pentagon and then makes the troops do this sloppy, shambolic, joyless birthday parade that he could not even stay awake for. You're no. Exactly right. The words he used earlier are spot on. He's a bully. He's a coward. Pete Hegseth is a coward. They are hiding behind the troops to protect themselves from the consequences of their own actions. You no, should care it's, about it's, that. It's Everyone true. Should be offended by that. His supporters don't care, again, because MAGA, in my view, is not a political movement. It is not a political party. It is at best a religion. It is at worst a cult. They take it on faith that yep. Trump loves them, and they take it on faith that that Trump loves the military, despite all evidence
you
to
know,
the contrary.
His
it breaks my heart.
His affection for the military now is so shallow because of all the things that you said that he has said, and what he said about John McCain, and I heard that live, and He doesn't respect the military because he doesn't want to think that he ran from the military. He doesn't want to think that the military is important because he ran from the military. And he, again, is a very fragile man. He's fragile. And in fact, it's interesting. I've been calling him fragile. I called him fragile on Substack the other day. And now Jon Stewart used the word fragile, which I thought was interesting. But Donald Trump is not a tough guy. He acts tough, but he's not a tough guy. But yet this treatment of the media has got to be called out. And we're going to do it because it has to be done. The media is not always right. But in this case, the media is reporting and Donald Trump and his puppet Pete Hegseth are freaking out. And they're still doubling down on this. And what about this? Donald Trump has recently called for a special prosecutor to look into the stolen election of 2020. What a waste of time. We've been through this. But all of this is a distraction because Donald Trump is not doing really great right now. His numbers are down. And you can disregard the polls as much as you want, but you know who's not disregarding the polls? President Trump. He's paying attention to the polls, and he's reacting because of the polls. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I don't have a chance to get into it here, but coming up in the next hour, we'll talk about what a significant day today is. It's a Pride Month that continues. This is the day that the Supreme Court ruling declared that any law banning sodomy is unconstitutional. And many people looked at that as the Supreme Court ruling that was going to open the door for gay marriage to be legalized. And indeed, a few years later, well, like, you know, 12 years later, that's what happened. We'll talk more about that in the next hour. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. All right. It is a summertime. Always great to hear the Beach Boys music. Always makes me think of summertime. And yeah, it's hot AF out there. Supposed to get a lot of thunderstorms today. I'm looking out of our studio windows and I don't see much going on, but that doesn't mean you're not in some rain right now. If it hits, be careful. Well, we still have to talk a little bit more. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but Troy Henry, owner of Henry Consulting, apparently he's in a position to take over the $73 million contract to clean up the French Quarter August 1st. Sidney Torres is doing it now, and Troy Henry better be prepared to live up to what Troy Henry is doing. He may not like it, but if he doesn't, his name is going to be trash. Let's go to Jack in River Ridge. Hey, Jack, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I do have something to say, but I just wanted to, first of all, I just wanted to say that not only do I think you're not biased, I think you avoid some of this. I mean, because literally, if you watch Trump every day, that stuff that he gives a thousand things that he gives you to talk about every day, and you avoid a lot of it.
I do.
You don't want to do this all day long, and I understand that. I wanted to piggyback on something that Ian said. You know, the fact that we have a real problem going forward because people don't really pay attention to what's going on. You know, they find their favorite pundit, and whatever their interpretation of what Trump did that day is what they go with. I challenge them to actually watch Trump every day. Don't have Sean Hannity tell you about it, because you can go to YouTube and just hit Trump speeches and listen to him talk, and you should realize that he's lying to you most of the time or just making it up. If your child acted the way Trump did, you wouldn't be happy about it, because he never takes responsibility for anything. Because like this thing that's with the bomb, It's not a credit to him if the bomb was successful, but it's not a detriment to him if it wasn't successful.
I agree.
Because all he did was order it. All he did was order it. You know, and it's not the pilot's fault either.
I agree. I agree. I mean, Donald Trump could very easily have said, "Look, we had this first impression. We have this intel report from our intel, and if we didn't finish the job, and we'll learn more about this in the days to come. If we didn't finish the job, we're going to go in and finish the job," instead of blaming the media for reporting something that he essentially agrees with and then blaming the media for reporting it. It's a distraction.
And I agree with what y'all just said, you know, much of what y'all just said. Trump approaches this as though it was a TV show, and you know, all he's trying to do is appease the people who voted for him. He doesn't really seem to care whether it goes right or not. If something goes right, he just wants to take credit for it. And Scoot, I'll close with this. One of the very few qualified people that Trump has working for him is the Fed chairman, okay? The Fed chairman has pretty much come out, if you've been paying, I know you have, if people have been paying attention. What he's basically said is, if Trump just makes the tariff talk go away, he could see a course very soon into dropping interest rates because tariffs cause inflation. The way that the Fed deals with inflation is to raise interest rates.
Yeah. And Jack, I think that Jerome Powell, I think he went so far as to say if Trump had not done the tariff plan, chances are he would have lowered interest rates. So Trump got in his own way.
He curses that man every day.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Yeah, it is. But Jack, listen, I appreciate your wisdom.
Thank you,
I appreciate the call. And, you know, we do the show for people like Jack. We do the show for anybody who's listening, but, you know, we don't worry about the critics. From Houston, Mark, you're on WWL. Hey, Mark.
Hey, I can't believe I'm listening to this, but I'm trying. I'm trying to understand you guys. Listen, the whole MAGA movement really started with the Tea Party back in Ron Paul's day. But the MAGA really got kicked in the gear when Trump harnessed that understanding that MAGA is being lied to by the media, by the corporate media, have been lying long before Joe Biden ever lost his mind or whatever happened to him, way before that, even before the election. And I'm sorry, but the majority of Americans did vote for Trump, and
I got to just correct you. The majority of voting Americans did not vote for Trump.
There you go. There's one more.
I don't mean to interject myself, but
you can't say that. You make it seem like there's an overwhelming majority that voted for Trump, and that is factually not true.
It's not a majority, it's a plurality. Words matter, and those two terms mean two different things. That's all.
We're not going to go away after Trump. We're still going to believe what we believe long after Trump.
It's okay. You can do that. I mean, I'm not telling you can't believe what you want to believe.
But you think we're a cult. Well, I'm not a cult. There's no cult about it. I love my country. I like what Donald Trump is trying to do for this country.
All right. Well, you can, this is America. You can like that if you want to. But when he starts to threaten freedom of speech or when he lies, I'm going to report it. And you can like the lies if you want to. You can like that. It's this is America.
He received several hundreds of different intel reports, all right? They come and they go, and you have to...
Look, Mark, you don't know any more than I know, and it sounds like you have been tuned in to the conservative echo... What?
No, thank you.
Oh, okay.
For telling me that I don't know any more than you.
Well,
you don't know any more than I do.
It sounds like you've been locked into the conservative echo chamber, and you're told things that aren't true, like a majority of Americans voted for Trump. That's simply not true, but it makes it seem like there's this overwhelming majority that wanted Trump in office, and that's not factually true.
I don't know how he won then.
Okay. He won because he got more votes than Kamala Harris, but he didn't get a majority. But he won. He won a fair election. Nobody's taking that away from him.
And so because we voted for him, we're the cult?
Well, there are cult-like things. There are cult-like things about MAGA followers. Maybe you're not one of them, but there are cult-like things about MAGA followers. If you look up the definition of a cult and apply it to some of the MAGA supporters, then, you know, you're going to see some parallels there. Mark, I got to move on. And look, I'm not telling you you can't believe what you want to believe, because you have every right to believe what you want to believe. I appreciate you tuning in from Houston, but on this show, we tell the truth. And when Donald Trump says something that is not true, when Donald Trump unfairly bashes the media, we're going to call him out. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870.
I think I'm the one that used the word cult first today, so maybe part of this is on me to clean up. And look, to be clear, I'm not saying that you can't be MAGA and also not be a patriot. And also not care about this country and love this country and want it to do well. What is cult-like is this function where if there is information that does not fit in to a MAGA person's like perfect, comfortable expectations, their worldview, it doesn't help their political project, it doesn't make them feel good, it's dismissed. That is true for every policy question, every political debate. It's even true about breaking news stories. The guy that shot the Democrats in Minnesota, you know, he's kind of MAGA. He voted for Trump. He said MAGA stuff on social media all the time. He's a conservative, anti-choice, evangelical preacher. They could not handle hearing that. They had to make up these other stories because they got to go right to what is useful to me. What helps me in this moment? What protects my feelings? Even if it is wrong, it's a disgusting lie. Even if it hurts me, they don't care. That is cult behavior.
Well, it's also cult behavior in believing whatever is said, even though it's not true. Do you remember David Koresh and the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas? Those people believed everything David Koresh said, even though it was wrong. They believed everything he said. They got caught up in a cult. So there are aspects of being a MAGA supporter that are cult-like. If you want to join us, again, Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. But when it comes to the media, there's no question that Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth today just absolutely hated the media. And they hate the media because the media is calling them when they are not honest. That's what the media is supposed to do. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1965, the Byrds had the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Number one song was Mr. Tambourine Man. It was a cover song written by Bob Dylan, I think a year or so before. And the Byrds liked the song, and they had the big hit on it. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. Let's go to Doug in New Orleans. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. How are you doing?
I'm good, Doug.
All right. I just had a couple little comments. One about the telling everybody, you know, everybody says that the bombs weren't, the nuclear weapons weren't blown up.
Well, we don't know.
By the military. And I just think that's an inherently dangerous thing to put out there too much, because if you convince a man like Trump that he didn't get it, that he didn't get those bombs, that he didn't get those nuclear weapons, that it might just increase his nature. His nature is, okay, you made me believe that, so now I'll send the bombers back out there. So I don't know why the left in particular would say that, would accuse him. I mean, I guess just because he is saying that he blew them all up, they're obliterated, so they kind of hate him so much. Okay, well, let's...
No, I don't think that's what motivates him, Doug. I really don't. I don't think that's what motivates the media. I think they're motivated by, okay, wait a minute, the president is saying this, but we've got this intel report, and it's saying this, and these are two different things, and we're the media, and we need to report this. So they report it. I think it's Trump's reaction that causes this to get out of control.
So don't they think maybe their intel, because there's intel on both sides. One side says we got them all. The other side said we don't.
Well, what side says, I mean, Israel said we got them all. I don't trust that Trump didn't call them and say, you need to release this report, because it was U.S. intel, which I have respect for. U.S. intel released the report that maybe the bombs didn't do what they were supposed to do, which nobody's saying anything negative about the pilots or the mission itself, which was miraculous.
No.
But if those bombs didn't do what they were supposed to do, then it would be really dangerous for us to ignore that reality and just turn a blind eye to it and let Iran do whatever they're doing. And, hey, we took care of that problem. Let's move on.
True.
You know, so I don't think we can move on at this point. We need a serious assessment. And I think that's going to ultimately take somebody on the ground. And Iran, this is one of the problems with a nuclear agreement with Iran. They don't want to let people into their country and into their nuclear program.
Right. They don't live up to their agreement.
Right. So, look, it's a tough situation. And I think the president tends to blow things out of proportion if somebody disagrees with him. And he and Hegseth are said to now actually appreciate this report from Intel and agree with it, that maybe we didn't get everything, but they're doubling down on it publicly. So, you know, Doug,
if he starts agreeing with that, he could use that info to say, okay, well, let's go back in there and drop some more bombs on them and hit them harder.
I hate to think that we've got another mission.
That's what I was thinking from hearing all this.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, man, that's the worst thing to tell him, because he might just go along with that and say, hey, you're right, we found out from our own intelligence that we didn't hit them all, so we're going back in. And I think it's counterproductive to cross him like that.
But if we believe,
even though I know he He's not the stand-up president we would love to have.
But if we believe the intel, if there's belief, even among officials, that we didn't get everything, then if we were convinced that we had to go in and do this in the first place, if it was that important to do this in the first place, then we need to finish the job. Or could Donald Trump have done this in the first place to distract attention? It was a safe mission for our pilots and our military. And was Donald Trump tempted to do this, motivated to do this, to distract from all the other stuff? There's a report out that he was watching Fox News, and Fox News was talking about the Israeli military genius behind the bombing of Iran, and that Donald Trump could not resist from wanting to be part of that. And that's when Donald Trump started saying, "We control the skies over Iran," when Israel, days before, Israel had been saying, "We control the skies over Iran." Then President Trump started saying, "No, we control." He didn't say no, but he said, "We control the skies over Iran," making it seem like it was the United States. We aided them, but
Israel,
it was really the work
it
of Israel.
A whole lot easier.
Absolutely.
Israel made it a whole lot easier for us to go in there and do that.
Right. And so this was a safe mission. So was Donald Trump motivated in the beginning to bomb Iran to distract from his low polling numbers and to put him in the category of being a military genius? We don't know. But I think all of those things are possible.
Well, he followed Israel for a reason. I mean, he waited for Israel to do that, and it might have been, they might have gotten together on that and behind closed doors decided, hey, look, if you do this, if you go bomb all these communications areas and some of their facilities, we'll go in there and hit the bunker that's so deep that they didn't have the bunker buster.
That's possible. And Doug, you know that there are, you know, there's a religious side to all of this. I mean, people are using Israel attacking Iran to invite the rapture. They're saying that these are things that have to happen to, you know, to invite the rapture. And again, I don't know why everybody's so, you know, quick to leave this life. I don't want to get caught up in the rapture if I'm one of those who's going to go.
Not at all.
You know, I want to hang out here for a little. Want to hang out here for a little longer.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
All right, Doug, I appreciate the call. All right, if you got a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk in text line 504-260-1870. All right, we're going to get back to more of your calls. And obviously, we're going to continue this conversation into the next hour. We are reacting to President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth really just going crazy this morning, really just going postal over the media, continuing this barrage of attacks on the media because the media was reporting this leaked report from U.S. Intel that maybe we didn't get everything we wanted to get. And the president and Pete Hegseth are blaming any failure on the media. We'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1988, Debbie Gibson graduated from Calhoun High School in Merrick, Long Island. She missed 75 days in her senior year because she was touring. And this is the day she graduated in 1988. The day before she graduated, this song, Foolish Beat, hit number one in America. So she graduated from high school with the number one song in the country. And she's on record as being the youngest female to have a number one song that she actually had written. I wonder if that changed during Taylor Swift. I'm not sure. I'd have to check up on the latest history. But at the time, she was the youngest female to ever write a song that was number one. All right, we continue with the conversation into the next hour. If you're on hold, just please relax and stay with us, and we'll get to your calls coming up. Also, we'll talk a little bit about what Billy Nungesser said yesterday about why Governor Jeff Landry vetoed a bill that was passed unanimously by the legislature. Unanimously by the legislature, and he vetoes it. Why did that happen? We want you to know. We'll talk about that next.